So Brother Fred's going to come, and as he comes, we're going to prepare to give our Sunday school offering. So go ahead, Brother Fred, ask God's blessing on the offering, sir. Amen. All right. And ma'am, you can come on over here on this side. We're going to have our Sunday school on this side this morning. All right. Who needs a Sunday school book that maybe you want to borrow one today or you don't have one at all? Children, you don't need one. You can look on with your parents, or if we give you one, you must give yours back. No, Brother Neil, you can give those out. So if you need a book, go ahead and raise your hand. Young people, if you take a book, make sure you give it back. Littrell, you can share one with your brother there. All right, anybody else need a Sunday school book? If you're a grown-up, you can keep yours. If you're a young person, make sure you give yours back. And please don't draw in them. Somebody else will use them next time. All right. All right, everybody should have your Bible. So if you don't have a Bible, there should be one in front of you. Go ahead and take a Bible. And you're going to turn those over to Matthew 7 and verse number 12. Talking about something that applies to everybody, including young people. Young people, how many of y'all want somebody to be mean to you? Nobody? Lee Shan, you don't want anybody to be mean to you? Which one is Lee Shan? Elijah. That's Lee Shan, I'm sorry. Lee calling me Lee Shan. Do you want people to be mean to you? Lee Shan? You want people to be mean to you? Do you want anyone to be mean to you or bad to you? Want anybody to beat you up? Okay, good. All right. I just wanted to make sure. Because if you did, we was going to jump on you and accomplish that for you. Amen. So when it comes to Matthew 7:12, it is called the Golden Rule. All right. And the Littrell, who's on your left? Elijah. Elijah, you want anybody to lick their tongue out at you and make faces at you? Kick you in the backside? No. Because if you did, we're going to do that to you. You don't want us to do that to you? Okay, just checking. Josiah, I haven't forgotten about you. You want anybody to talk bad about the Green Bay Packers? No? No. Well, I don't want you to talk about Chicago Bears bad either, amen. That's three of y'all against one of me, amen. I got Brother Holmes on this side, Josiah here, Brother Duffy, all three Green Bay Packers fans, amen. We got one Chicago Bear fan back there. Josh was a Chicago Bear fan if they're winning. If they're not, then he jumped ship on me, amen. So we all want somebody to treat us nice. Matthew 7:12, let's go over there. That's what this verse is talking about. And we're going to talk a little bit about that today. This is called the Golden Rule. Matthew 7:12, we're going to say the reference, which is Matthew 7:12. Then we're going to read the verse together. Then we're going to say the reference at the end. Here we go. Matthew 7:12. Therefore, all things whatsoever ye would that men should do to you, do ye even so to them. For this is the law and the prophets. Matthew 7:12. Father, thank you once again for the privilege to be in your house today. Help us as we look at this verse, the Golden Rule. Help us to see how it applies to us. Then, Lord, help us, more importantly, to go out from this Sunday school hour to live it more effectively and in a better way. Help us, Lord, to leave this Sunday school differently than when we came in. Lord, a little bit more Christ-like in our dealings with others. And, Lord, doing to them, Lord, what you would have us to do to them. Father, we thank you so much for loving us. Bless in our Sunday school hour. We'll thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. And amen. All right, we're at Matthew 7:12. You guys in your book are on page what? 75. So in your books, you're on page 75. I'm going to give you a little bit of the background material so that you can fill in the blanks that you're missing. We should be able to finish out Roman numeral 1 and possibly go into Roman numeral 2 today. That all depends on how you guys listen. If y'all listen up fast, we'll get done fast. Amen. All right, there are some things to consider in this verse. Therefore, all things whatsoever you would that men should do ye even so to them. The goal is to do to others the way we want to be treated. How many want to be treated good? Raise your hand.
Oh, yes,
Pastor. Amen. All right.
I do.
How many want to be treated bad? Raise your hands likewise. All right. So if we want to be treated good, how should we treat others? Good.
Good.
Good. How did Jesus treat everybody?
Good.
Good. Amen. All right. So let's look at some things here because we want to make sure that we are able to do what God would have us to do. Matthew 7:12, we gave the information on that last week, so we're not going to recover that again. But the introduction is this. We're going to be around people. How many of y'all wake up in the morning and you see somebody?
Yeah.
See your mom, you see your dad, you see a brother, sister, you see somebody. How many of y'all go to school and you see somebody? Amen. We're going to go to school. We're going to see somebody. How many of y'all go to Fry's, Walmart, you see somebody? Amen. Everywhere you go, you're going to see somebody. You go to a basketball game, you're going to see people. You go to a restaurant, you're going to see people. Everywhere you go, you're going to see people. Now, people have this unusual ability to get on your nerves. Did you know that?
Yeah.
Did you know that everybody knows how to get on somebody's nerves? Children especially know how to get on parents' nerves. Amen, parents? Children know what buttons to push to set parents off. And sometimes they push those buttons by accident. Sometimes they push those buttons on purpose. Sometimes they push those buttons to get a reaction. Sometimes they push those buttons to get their way. But everybody has nerves. Some of us get their nerves gotten on quicker than others. How many of y'all get your goat got? You say, they got my goat? Amen. I've been trying to sell my goat for the longest, Brother Neil, and I cannot offload that goat on anybody. And so somebody always gets my goat. Amen. And then they give it right back. So we live with people, and people are going to offend us in some way. How many of y'all have feelings? Mark it down. Your feelings are going to get hurt. Somebody's going to hurt your feelings today. Your feelings may get hurt before the Sunday school class is over. Amen. I may hurt your feelings. Amen. If you're anything like me, when the preacher said all have sinned and come short of glory of God, that hurt my feelings. You know that, Brother Neil, that really hurt me deep because I thought I was a pretty good person. I thought I was a pretty good guy. I thought I was doing unto others that, like I wanted to do. I thought I was pretty good. I thought I was trying to keep the Ten Commandments. I thought I at least knew some of the golden rule. And then the preacher had nerve to call me a sinner. My feelings got hurt. I thought, how dare he call me a sinner? Doesn't he know I'm an upstanding citizen? I pay my taxes. I'm an American. I came to this church today just to hear him call me a sinner. How dare he? The audacity. And I don't like it. You know, the fact of the matter is it was true. The Bible says all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. So it's not like he was lying. But it was the way he said it, Brother Neil. He said, you're a rotten, no good sinner, and your feet don't match.
Oh, my goodness.
And it took a few minutes for that to sink in. I said, I'm a dirty, rotten sinner. I took a shower this morning. He called me rotten. I think I'm pretty good. And then he said, my feet don't match. And then it dawned on me, they don't match. I got a right one and a left one. So yours don't match either. If they matched, you'd have two right feet or two left feet. So what he said, in essence, was true. I was a dirty, rotten sinner. My feet didn't match. But I didn't want to hear him say it. And my feelings got hurt. And I went like this. I will not speak to you ever again. I will never come back to this church again. But I couldn't leave in the middle of the sermon as my wife would talk about me. So I stayed. And he told me some more things about myself, and I didn't like that. And so, as the sermon went on, He told me a little bit more about myself. And then he told me, had the nerve to tell me I wasn't going to heaven. My feelings got hurt. Because if anybody was going to heaven, it was me. You know, if you looked at the pearly gates, it said, "Welcome, Gregory Dawson. We have been waiting for you." And I thought there was just going to be a band of angels waiting for me. And this preacher had nerve to tell me I wasn't going. And he did. He had the nerve to give me the reason why, Brother Holmes. He told me because I had not been born again. And I said, "I've been born once. That should be good enough." Y'all don't know what I went through today. I got saved. I had a lot of stuff going on in my head. Amen. He tells me, first of all, I'm a dirty, rotten sinner. My feet don't match. He tells me I'm not going to heaven. I know there's a picture up there with me getting into heaven. Now I got to be born again. Amen. Well, that was just too much for me. I went and talked to that preacher after service. I said, "Hey, look, what is all this heaven and hell stuff about? And why am I not going?" And guess what? Somebody gave me the gospel. And guess what I got? Saved. Saved. Now, I still didn't like the way he talked about me. But at least I'm going to heaven now. I came back the second week. Guess what he did? He talked about me again. And my feet still didn't match. I was still a dirty, rotten sinner. But I will say, what am I saying here? You and I are going to get on somebody's nerves by what we say, by what we do. And according to what the Bible says, God wants us to do how many things in verse number 12? Therefore what? All things whatsoever ye would that men should do to you, do ye even so to them. So we began talking about this. By the way, you and I need to learn to live peaceably with all people. Amen. What group of people seem to get on our nerves the quickest? Well, it's family. Family gets on our nerves. Why do family members get on our nerves the quickest oftentimes, Joshua? They know you. They know your good sides and they know your bad sides. They know your shortcomings and they know your good. They know everything about you. So when I would go out with my sisters and people would say, "Oh, look at him. He is so nice and kind." My sister would say, "Him?" And I'd say, "Yeah, him." They say, "You don't know him like we know him." I'm like, they know just enough to say I'm nice and kind. And y'all aren't. Amen. Amen. Relatives and family members get on our nerves the easiest. And Romans 12:18 said, "If it be possible, as much as lieth in you, live peaceably with all men." We looked at that last time. You and I want to have the reputation of being peacemakers, not troublemakers. Amen. Amen. We don't want to stir the pot up for evil. So in order to do that, we have to be able to live this verse. So Roman numeral 1, we see the magnitude of this verse, the magnitude of this verse. And the magnitude is in all things. Notice what it says, therefore, all things. So Roman numeral 1 is all things. And we mentioned this, there's no exceptions, there's no excuses. There is no reason for you and I not to do all things to others the way we want them to treat us. Amen. And in A, we saw it involves all communications. Amen. By the way, how would I feel if someone said to me what I am telling this person is something I should consider? By the way, is it always in what I say in communication? What else is it besides what I say? How I say it. What else might it be? The actions when I say it. Ladies have a way of saying things that men say, but it's the way ladies say it. They twist their neck, twist their body, do all this. And you think, why can't you just say it? Why you got to do all this? And you better do this. And the man can just say it like that, and they got to put all this neck and shoulders and snapping and there, then throw the hip. Mm. And so it's in the way you say it as well. So when it comes to all communication, it's what I say, but it's a how I say it. It's the actions when I say it, but something we should consider, why I say it. Am I trying to belittle the person? Am I trying to put the person down? Am I trying to do something to make them feel less than me by what I say? So it's all communication. So there's a whole lot that goes in there. And by the way, just because I communicate with you, does that mean I've got to tell everybody else? My mother used to go like this. Now, Gregory, you better blah, 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 and blah, 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 and blah, blah, blah. My sisters would be over there. And blah, blah, blah. And then she'd say, and that goes for y'all too. I thought it was between me and you, Mom. Now you didn't bought them into it, amen. But I was glad that it was being deferred away from me, amen. Because I was like, yeah, y'all too. Uh-huh. Take that. And she's like, I'm talking to you, boy. And I'd be like, amen. Hey, so all communication, but then we come down to B. It includes all disagreements. Are we going to disagree with somebody? Yes. Notice the verse on Ephesians 4:29 in your books. Let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouths. Corrupt means rotten. Amen. But that which is what? Good to the use of edifying. So what comes out of our mouth should be good. But not only what comes out of my mouth should be good, how I say it, how I act when I say it, the tone of voice when I say it. Because think about it. Somebody asks me a question, I can say, no, sir. Or I can say, no, sir. Did I say the same thing? But did what was the difference? Attitude, tone, body language. Or you ask your child a yes and no question. Is the light on in the kitchen? Yes! What happened to yes? What does the first yes say? I don't want to be bothered. I was on the phone. I was on the video game. I was playing basketball. I was playing football. I was playing the game. I was doing something and you disturbed me. So, yes! A word that I couldn't say in my house was the word what? When asked a question by an adult. My mother had a question for me one time, and I was upstairs, she was downstairs. And I had the audacity to say, what? How many of y'all have heard the term silence is golden? Our house was made of gold during that time. I didn't hear another reply from my mother, period. I was afraid to go downstairs. When I finally got up the nerve to go downstairs and say, what was it you were asking, Mom? She said, boy, if you ever open your lips and say what to me, I will slap your mouth so far away from you. I thought, okay. She was going to slap it clean off. She said, if I ever hear you respond to me with what again in your entire life, folks, I'm 56 years old now. She said that to me when I was about 7 years old. I have never said what to my mother since that day. And every time she asks me a question, I reflect back to that moment. And I can just see my mouth going over there. Seeing the surgeons come in and have to pick my mouth up and reattach it to my face. And my mother said, now, what was it you were trying to say after you had your mouth surgically put back on? Oh, Mom, I don't know what came over me. Communication, all disagreements. By the way, are you and I going to disagree with some people? Yes, we are. B, in all disagreements, we said this, in your disagreements, two things to consider. You want to be respected, so you need to respect others in disagreements. The second thing was this. You want to be understood, so try your best to understand somebody else. Now, husbands, let me help you out. You're not going to always understand your wives. And you are going to disagree on certain things. But the same way you want to be respected and understood, try to respect them and understand. Sometimes you have to agree to disagree. And agree to disagree that you don't agree to disagree. Amen. If that makes sense. Because you really don't know. By the way, men, can we figure out ladies? No. And when you think you got them figured out, guess what happens? They change. And when you figure out that change, guess what happens? They change again. So you're going to disagree on certain things. My wife and I have disagreements. And, you know, I say, honey, I see it this way. She says, I see it that way. I said, well, what about X, Y, and Z? She'll say, what about A, B, and C? I'll say, okay, well, if you throw in QRX, amen, this makes sense. She'll say, well, if you throw in DEF, it makes sense. Yeah. And we have to come to the point that I don't agree and she doesn't agree with me. But if we're going to make sure we have a disagreement, we have to respect others and we have to understand others. Now, I'm not talking about in falsehoods and untruths. I'm talking about in things that matter. Amen. See, we looked at if we're going to do this right, all things includes all correction. See, all correction. All correction. How many of y'all like to be corrected? Nobody? Got a few honest folk here that like to be corrected. Amen. If we're honest, we all should like to be corrected. The problem comes in the way you are being corrected. There are some that can adequately correct and you can accept it. And there are others that can correct you to make you feel belittled, to make you feel incompetent and insignificant. So we've got to be careful in how we're correcting people. Amen. Yep. By the way, if someone is struggling with something and you're trying to struggle, if you're trying to identify with them, try to put yourself in their shoes in that struggle and correcting them. And how would you like to be corrected? No one likes to be belittled when being corrected. Amen. And so it includes all correction. Then we come down to D. It includes all witnessing. And this is where we left off at. So the magnitude is Roman numeral one, the magnitude. Then A, it includes all communication. B, it includes all disagreements. C, it includes all correction. And then D, it includes all witnessing opportunities. Amen. It includes all witnessing opportunities. What does this mean? When you and I go out to share the gospel, because it says all things, whichever you would that men should do to you, do ye even so to them. By the way, why did God save us? Why did God save us? To be a what? To be a witness, to tell somebody else, amen? The whole goal in saving us is so that we can tell someone else how we got saved. And so the Bible says, go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost in Matthew 28. And so when you look at this deed, it includes all witnessing opportunities. What should I consider when I'm witnessing? According to Matthew 7:12. What should I consider? Exactly. Therefore, all things, whatsoever you would that men should do ye so to them. So if somebody's going to give you the gospel, how would you want them giving you the gospel? How would you like them to give you the gospel? Now, I already told you how I was offended when my pastor told me I was a dirty, rotten sinner. And my feet didn't match. Praise God, it was during a preaching sermon. And so I knew he was talking to everybody, but I took personal offense to that. What happens when a person takes personal offense to something oftentimes? What is going on with them personally? They're being corrected. It applies to them. And so I don't care how everybody else felt. It affected me because I'm, hey. Dare you tell me I'm dirty, rotten sinner, my feet don't match. How dare you tell me I'm not going to heaven when I think my picture's on the gate of heaven up there welcoming me in. How dare you? It applies to me. So when you look at all witnessing opportunities, there's several things here that we need to consider. Amen. When witnessing, you can should consider several things here. First of all, how would you like to be treated? That goes with the verse. Amen. But then, how would you feel if someone were talking to you the same way? Then again, how are they acting? What's one way you don't want to act when you're trying to give somebody the gospel? One way you don't want to act. How don't, what was that? Arrogant. Or what's another way you don't want to act? Condescending. Like, I'm better than you. Joshua? Stubborn. Well, I don't want to hear what you got to say. Just hear what I got to say. You hypocrite. Don't be argumentative. Those are all good things that I've got to consider if I'm going to try to give somebody the gospel. How I want to be treated, how I want to, how I'm feeling. By the way, when you're dealing with someone, should you consider how they are feeling? I go out door knocking. I knock on somebody's door. They open the door. Obviously, they have been sleeping. and I say, good morning, I'm Pastor Dawson from Shining Light Baptist Church, and I want to talk to you about Jesus Christ. They say, I'm sleeping.
Yeah.
Okay, I'll let you go back to sleeping. Just a minute. Should I do that? What should I do then? I want to give them the gospel, don't I?
Yeah.
Ask for time to come back.
Apologize.
I'm sorry I seem to have woken you up. I did not mean to. If this is a bad time, which obviously it is, how many of y'all want to be woken up, get out of the bed, you come down there, this person's wiping your sleep, they didn't have their coffee, and here you're going to give them a 10-minute spiel on Jesus Christ. You think they're going to hear what you got to say? They might fall asleep at the door on you. Amen. So I've got to consider how the person feels on witnessing opportunities, how they are acting, what they are showing me, how I am speaking to them, and how am I looking. And guess what? If I'm going to tell them they're a sinner, I can say, you know, the Bible says all have sinned.
Yeah.
I can say, you know, the Bible says all have sinned. Or I can say, you know, the Bible says all people like you have sinned.
Whoa.
There's different ways I can say that. So when we talk about, therefore, all things, whatever you would the men should do to you, this includes witnessing opportunities. Yeah. Are we saved? Yes, we are. Aren't we on our way to heaven? Yes, we are. But guess what? They aren't. And I've heard this said before, well, they're not going to get any lost than they already are. Well, they may not get any saved either with your attitude. Amen. Well, lost is lost and you can't get any loster. But what happens when I'm knocking on their door? Who am I representing other than Christ?
The church.
So they're going to associate me with my church. And oftentimes they're going to think I'm not going to that church because those people, not that person, those people, you don't know how many doors I have knocked on that people have said, well, those people at that church. Amen. So how you speak, how you look. By the way, this is very important. Remember that you and I can't win people. It's Jesus Christ that does the saving.
Yes, sir.
So I've got to be very careful to listen to what the Holy Spirit says.
Yes, sir.
Very, very careful. The Holy Spirit spoke to me last week. We were out at 7:30 in the morning knocking on doors. Not knocking on doors, putting the flyers out. And we met a young boy there. Well, he's in his 20s. And the Holy Spirit pressed upon my heart to go back specifically to his house today or yesterday. And we went back specifically and knocked on his door. As soon as he came to the door, he recognized, he said, I remember you guys from last week. He was taking his garbage out last week, 7:30 in the morning. And so we talked to him. He said, I remember you guys from last week. And I said, hey, how you doing? Just want to make sure, you know, you recognize we got an anniversary next week and just got to talking and blah, blah, blah. And as time went on, he said, you know what? He said, my dad's a pastor.
Wow.
I said, well, sir, have you been born again? He said, yes, I have. He said, I know all about what you're doing. And I said, well, why aren't you in church? He said, I got away from those things. He said, I got away from it. He said, my dad's a pastor. You know, I'm in California. I moved out here. I just got away from it. There was a reason why the Holy Spirit laid him on my heart. And specifically to go back to that particular house. And the Holy Spirit had him there. Now, I'm hoping he's going to come next week. Now, I don't know, but I'm going to go back next week because God really pressed that young man upon my heart. What happens? Sometimes, if we're not careful, young people, we serve the God of our parents, and then when we get out of the house, we don't serve God at all because we never had a personal relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. Young people, you have got to have your own walk with God. You've got to have a personal relationship with Christ. It's got to be between you and God, not your parents, God. You've got to own God for yourself, and he's got to be your personal savior. And so I believe that's what happened to this young man. He was raised in a Christian environment. His dad was a preacher. But then as time got on, he got on his own because there was not a personal relationship for him. He did not get those things solidified in his life. You got in your book there, Jude 22. Let's go over there, Jude 22. Right before the book of Revelation, Jude 22. And in Jude 22, they give you the verse here of how we should witness. And by the way, again, it includes all witnessing opportunities is the point. Jude 22. And in Jude 22, notice what Jude encourages us to do here. He says in verse 22, and if some have, what's the word? Compassion. What is compassion? Love. Okay. What else is compassion? Kind and tender. I want to feel what they're feeling. I want to identify with their feelings. I want to really get to understand why they are where they are. Compassion. And so one way to witness here is, and some have compassion to make a difference. Amen. But then verse 23, and others save with what? Fear. How do we train children early on oftentimes? Fear. If you don't, you're going to get this. If you do, you'll get this. And so we train them with fear. Why? That's how God trains us early on. You look at the children of Israel. How did he train them early on? Fear. Remember that crowd, the Korites? Yeah. They rebelled against God. What happened to them? The ground opened up, swallowed them whole. What did people say? Ah! That'll scare me to death. If God was to say, you know what, preacher, now during the sermon today, I'm going to open up the ground. I'm going to swallow up some people whole today. And people that's not right with me, I'm going to swallow up. That would scare me to death. And guess what it did to them? Scared them. So in our witnessing, he says, others save with fear, pulling them out of the fire, hating even the garment spotted by the flesh. You know what got me saved the day I got saved, February 3rd, 1991? Fear.
Yes. Pastor.
Fear. It wasn't compassion that got me saved. It was a fear of going to hell. I didn't want to go to hell. I saw my name written over the pearly gates, so I thought, and the preacher told me, unless you're born again, your name's not going to be there. I thought, whoa, wait a minute. I got scared. I said, so where am I going? By the way, if you're not going to heaven, where else is there for you to go?
Hell.
By the way, the Bible doesn't mention purgatory.
No, it doesn't.
That's made up by man.
Yes, sir, it is.
And once you go to hell, there is no escape until judgment day. And then you go to the lake of fire. That's not where I wanted to go. Amen. So we should be prayerful in how we're presenting the gospel and understanding how people are feeling, how we are acting, what people are showing, how we're speaking, how we are looking, what the Holy Spirit is saying. Most importantly, what the Bible is saying about the whole thing. Amen. So D is witnessing opportunities. Amen. Let's come down to number E. Number E, amen. It includes all prayers. Now, let me give you a startling revelation here. It includes all prayers. E, it includes all prayers. Think of this. If everybody prayed the way you pray, what would go on in this world? If everybody prayed the way you pray, if everybody prayed with the consistency that you pray with, if everybody prayed with the fervency that you prayed with, if everybody prayed with the passion that you pray for. Most of us pray like this, Lord, I need a new car, new house, amen. Then we come back, Lord, where's it at? Lord, I want my kids to get good grades, amen. What, you got a D? Where's the persistence and the encouragement that goes along with the prayers? We give a patent prayer. Okay, Lord, I'm about to take this test. Lord, help me to do good. Amen. Praise the Lord. Wait a minute. There's some study that should go in there, some preparation that should go in there. If everybody prayed the way you pray, would anything get done? And by the way, if people prayed for you the way you prayed for them, how would you be? Say, that's why you're in the shape you're in. Amen. If people prayed for you the way you prayed for others, how would you be? Amen. So it includes all prayers, which is E. Amen. By the way, when you go through trials, how do you want people to pray for you? And the way you pray for others is oftentimes the way they may pray for you. Not always, but sometimes. Amen. By the way, if you prayed for others' concerns the way you prayed for your own concerns, would there be a disparity? Because I should pray readily for others' concerns. That's why we have a prayer list. Amen. Why? People put down their concerns there on the prayer list. Amen. By the way, when you look at this, it includes all prayers. I should pray for others the way I want to be prayed for. Amen. So it includes all prayers. Now let's get down to F. It includes all actions. It includes all actions. All actions. Now again, look back at Matthew 7:12. Matthew 7:12. All things whatsoever ye would that men should do to you, therefore all things whatsoever ye would that men should do to you, do ye even so to them, for this is law and the prophets. It includes all actions. I was up at the Grand Canyon. My family and I went up there, and out of the blue, a guy gave me $100. Out of the blue. That's a random act of kindness. Another occasion, I was somewhere else, and a guy came up to me and gave me $100, just out of the blue. Random act of kindness. For no reason, just gave it to me. Wow. Have you ever been the recipient of a random act of kindness? How did it feel? Felt great.
Feels good, Pastor. It feels good.
Felt great. Joshua came home from the store one time and bought me some of those sour gummy snakes. Oh. Out of the blue. That felt great. I mean, it felt great. Faith came home with a bottle of bubble water for me one time, that flavored water, and felt great. No, just gave it to me. Amen.
How nice.
And man, did I feel great. G2 baked me some peanut butter cookies the other night.
Whoa.
I thought, man, that's just felt great.
Yummy.
Peanut butter cookies were my favorite cookies now, next to oatmeal raisin.
Oh, amen.
It felt good. Just a random act of kindness goes a long way. When I got that $100, guess what I did? The guy that led my father-in-law to the Lord and baptized him, I had kept that $100 in my wallet for a long time. And I said, God, I want to do to someone else exactly what's underneath this $100. I said, so you show me who to give that to. And there was a missionary here who was starting a Spanish church, and he had witnessed to my father-in-law, finally got him saved. They both were from Puerto Rico. And he got him baptized, started working with him, and God had just laid on my heart, give him that $100 that was given to you. And I gave him that $100 that was given to me. Now, I did tithe off of it, so for y'all that's asking. Amen. So actually, it was $110. So I tithe off and gave him the $100. Amen. Why? Because it was an act of kindness to me, and I wanted to reciprocate that. And so I kept that $100 in my wallet until God showed me who to give it to. And so I gave it to him. You and I appreciate random acts of kindness, and so we should have acts of kindness. What was something that somebody did to you? Littrell, you said yes. What's something that somebody did to you that was kind? Clean your room, maybe? She passed you anyway, man. I think your mother and father had something to do with that, amen. Go down there and love. Now, look, my son need to get this grade passed, amen. What else? Something someone did you. Random act of kindness. You didn't deserve it, but they gave it to you anyway. Yes, Joshua? Faith bought you a new stuffed animal. Didn't deserve it. Just random act of kindness make you feel good. And so when it comes to this, it includes all actions. You and I should have some random acts of kindness to others. Therefore, all things whatsoever ye would that men should do to you, do even so to them. Now, did I give $100 so that someone could give me $100? No, I gave the $100 because I was given $100. I was shown kindness, and so I was trying to exhibit kindness. Jesus Christ says it should be totally different. We should do something first because that's what we want done to us. And so we should do these things, all actions, F, all prayers, E, all witnessing opportunities, D, C, all corrections, and then B, all disagreements, A, all communications. He says we should do this first Because that's really how we want to be treated, and because that's what Jesus Christ would desire for us to do. Now, again, the $100 was given to me, so I said, man, I'm going to give it to somebody else. Amen. But it should be the other way around. We should initiate all of these. Notice the verse again, Matthew 7:12. Therefore, how many things?
All
things whatsoever ye would that men should do to you. So in other words, what you want people to do to you, do ye even so to them. You do it first. For this is the law and the prophet. This is everything that the Bible talks about in the Word of God. Amen. You and I appreciate people that are considerate. We appreciate people that are thoughtful. We don't appreciate people that are inconsiderate. We don't appreciate people that are rude to us. We don't like those folks that are pushy and obnoxious to us. And so those are not ways that we should be. So when it comes down to the golden rule, if you and I were to treat everybody the way we want to be treated, would it be a different society in which we live? Yes, it would. Unfortunately, our society is this way. We treat others the way they have treated us. That's what we tend to do. Tit for tat. You didn't treat me well, so hence I'm not going to treat you well. You lied to me, so I'm going to lie to you. You were not kind to me, so I'm not going to be kind to you. You were not friendly to me, so I'm not going to be friendly to me. You were unlovely to me, so I'm going to be unlovely to you. But if you're lovely to me, I'll be lovely to you. If you're kind to me, I'll be kind to you. If you're gracious to me, I'll be gracious to you. And that's the society in which we live. Jesus says it shouldn't be that way. He says, therefore, all things, whatsoever you would that men should do to you, do even so to them. Hey, folks, this needs to take place in the family first. Why? That's where our patience is tried the most. Then it extends to those people that we spend the majority of our time with that know us best, because those are some other folks that get on our nerves. Then those strangers that are out there, it should extend to them. Why? Jesus is the friend of sinners. It should extend to everybody. So when you look at this verse, Matthew 7:12, the magnitude of it reaches to everything that we do. You should do to everybody else what you want them to do to you. If you don't want them to do it to you, you shouldn't do it to them. Simple as that. Now, it's easier said than done, because people are still going to push that button. They still are going to touch that nerve. They still are going to hit where you live, sometimes on purpose, sometimes on accident. Either way, how should we respond? Christ-like. Christ-like. Either way. If it's on accident, Christ-like. If it's on purpose, Christ-like. Amen? So we're going to give you a verse here that you're going to meditate on. You already have Matthew 7:12 down pat. Amen? And so now we're going to have you get another verse. Amen? And it's going to be Ephesians 4:29. Ephesians 4:29. Let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good to the use of edifying, that it may minister grace unto the hearers. Why is that, preacher? Because most of us get ourselves in trouble by this. One of the smallest members of the body, the tongue. Most of us get ourselves in trouble by that, by what we say. Amen. So that's going to be our memory verse for next week, Ephesians 4:29. And we're going to ask ourselves this question. How would I feel if someone said the same thing to me? Or how would I feel if someone said the same thing about me, whether it's in my family or outside of my family? How would I feel if they said it to me the same way? How would I feel? Amen. Ephesians 4:29 is going to be our verse. Amen. There are going to be some refreshments next door. We're going to go ahead and pray and be dismissed. Amen. By the way, no Sunday school next week because of our church anniversary, so we'll meet here at 10:45. But our memory verse is Ephesians 4:29. Amen. Everybody got that down? Ephesians 4:29? All right. Now, let's meditate on that. Let's practice that. Let's make sure no corrupt communication proceeds out of your mouth. So when they run out of snacks over there, everybody's going to be gracious, right?
Yes, sir, Pastor. Yes.
Somebody takes the last snack, you're going to be gracious, right?
When
you get in the morning service and somebody's in the bathroom longer than anticipated, you're going to be gracious, right? Amen. Somebody steps on your toe, you're going to be gracious, right? Amen. All right, somebody shuts the door in your face. I mean, slap it in front of your face, you're going to be gracious, right? Amen. Let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth. Father, thank you so much for your goodness. Thank you for the golden rule, the magnitude of it, Lord, extends to all things. Lord, I'm so grateful that you are regulating our communication, our disagreements, Lord, our correction, our witnessing opportunities. Lord, you're even regulating our prayers and our actions. And help us, Lord, to make sure that the way we want others to treat us is the way we're treating them. Help us to initiate it first, that, Lord, we can be godly and pleasing in your sight. Lord Jesus, this is what you would have us to do. So help us, Lord, as we meditate on the verse, keeping what we say in check with you, and Lord, making sure we're saying those things that we wouldn't mind other people saying to us. We pray now for the refreshments next door. Pray that you would bless them and help them be used to nourish our bodies. Lord, give us just a little bit to go on till we get to the morning session. Lord, truly help us to leave here differently than we came in. Lord, a little bit more knowledgeable about the things of God, a little bit more godly in the attitude of Matthew 7:12 to make sure everything that we do is regulated with this verse. Thank you for loving us, Lord. Guide us, direct us, and lead us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. And amen. Make sure refreshments stay next door and don't come out of next door.